Ani Israel, Omrim Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program is brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, The Would-Be Pauper, is written for radio by Harold Rosenberg and is based on a story by Abraham Risen. Featured as Reb Yosef Bear is Edgar Staley. Let me tell you about our town's rich man, Reb Yosef Bear. Yosef Bear lives in a good house, has a tall, dignified wife, and two well-bred children, and is highly valued in the community. In fact, it's his value to the community that this story is about. Yosef Bear often has visitors who remind him of his high standing in our town.
In short, Reb Yosef Bear, such is the miserable condition of our community bathhouse.
It sounds unbearable.
Naturally, we, the Committee for Repairing the Bathhouse, have come to you first with our problems.
Naturally. Have another glass of tea, friend.
No, thanks. It's getting late and we still have other people to see.
Oh, of course. But what can I do?
We want your advice, Rev.
Advice? Unfortunately, the problem doesn't seem to present any difficulties. You hire a plumber and he makes the repairs.
And then?
Then you bathe.
That would be fine, if only it were as simple as that. 1, 2, 3, jump in the water and start bathing.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
No. There is an obstacle, Reb Yosef Bear.
An obstacle? What obstacle?
Yeah, you know, Reb Yosef Bear, the usual obstacle.
Oh, of course. I've got it. The plumber has to be paid.
Yeah. Reb Yosef Bear understands the problem.
He's
perfectly
gotten to the very heart of the matter.
You, Reb Yosef Bear, being our town's richest man,
get us off to a good start on our drive.
See that our town has a bathhouse that,
Yeah, my friends, take these 5 rubles.
Fine, Reb.
A very fine contribution.
The Almighty will reward
it
you.
It is written, he who performs a good deed extends the boundaries of heaven.
Now, we will be going now.
Good day, friends.
Until the next time we need your advice, Reb Yosef Bear, may we all live.
Till the next time.
That's our Reb Yosef Bear, a typical pillar of Jewish society, who agrees with the Bratislava rabbi that upon charity the universe is founded. But there's one thing wrong with Yosef Bear, our town's rich man.
Till the next time, he says. Oh, it can't go on.
Yosef Bear, give me some money, please. I've got to go shopping for Sabbath.
My dear wife, why couldn't you get here a little earlier? You might have saved me.
From what? What's the matter?
Well, I'm ruined, that's all. They've utterly ruined me.
Who?
The Committee for Repairing the Bathhouse. Oh. They've taken our last penny.
Why did you give it to them?
How can I refuse? They depend on me. What do we do for Sabbath?
Oh, we'll manage somehow. Don't worry. We won't greet the Sabbath with an empty table. Yes.
One of these days, there won't be anything left to pawn. Then they'll know that their rich man is a pauper.
That's it.
Our Yasser Bear is a genuine town's rich man, except for one thing. He has no money, not a cent. And this has been true for years. Admittedly, being a pauper is rather a handicap when one is the town's rich man and is bound by his past to continue in that position. And Yasser Bear is bound. He hasn't the least idea of how to stop living up to his rich man's status.
Beautiful ceremony.
Come here, Dovdol. Don't step on the grass.
Yes.
You know, it's time our town cemetery has new fencing.
Fencing or no fencing, it's beautiful here. The cemetery is the one place a poor man can enjoy.
As I see it, Yonkel, there are too many men who run off to the grave.
What do you mean?
Let's say I mean this Reb Shmuel, from whose funeral we're coming. It's all very well for him to be buried with fine singing and flattering words from the rabbi. But it would have been better if, instead of dying, he'd shown a little sense of responsibility.
But, my dear wife...
What right has a man to die without a penny to his name and with a daughter that needs to be married off? He enjoys our cemetery. Oh, very pleasant for him. But what is going to happen to his orphan, Gittel?
What do you think will happen?
Reb Yosef Bear, I suppose.
Naturally. Our leading householder has already agreed to take her in.
He was willing.
What else was to do it? Who? The representatives of the community said to Reb Yosef, an orphan girl has been left on our hands. What is the solution? We need your advice.
And he didn't even object.
No one has ever heard Yosef Bear hesitate when it comes to doing his duty. He merely quoted the text, "He who adopts an orphan is like unto him who begot him." And added, "From now on, Gittel, daughter of Shmuel, is my daughter."
It's a good thing Yosef Bear has plenty of money. Dovdol, get down off that headstone. A marriageable daughter eats money, clothes, dinners, a dowry.
Leave it to our Reb Yosef. He can afford it.
Esther Baylor, this time we are definitely ruined.
So Yosef Bear has solved another community problem.
How could I help myself? They came to me. Could I let this poor child starve? I do only what's expected of any householder in Israel.
Well, we have survived so far. Well,
we have nothing to eat ourselves. Does the poor orphan have to suffer, too? Oh, why don't they leave me alone? Well, they don't bother other paupers.
Sit down and have a glass of tea. Here, let me help you off with your coat.
Someone would carry this coat off to the ends of the earth. All our troubles come from things like this garment. Why must I wear a fur coat like a millionaire? Why must we have a white tablecloth on the table on an ordinary Tuesday? No wonder people think I'm rich.
Oh, don't blame this poor old coat. But look how the fur is rubbed away on the collar. The seams are green with age.
Yeah. Still, it's the coat of a rich man. People don't see the bald spots in the fur or the holes in the elbows. They see the original coat as it was 30 years ago. The changes they don't see. Nor do they see the changes in the owner of the coat. I must get rid of it.
And this beautiful beard of yours that shines like silver, that's also a rich man's. Can you get rid of it?
Oh.
Come sit down. I'll get the tea.
You'll see. I'll show them I'm a pauper yet.
If they don't see it now, they'll never see it.
The fact is that Yasser Bear's poverty is perfectly obvious. But a mysterious fatality seems to prevent his fellow citizens from becoming aware of what lies before their eyes.
Oh, good day, Reb Yosef Bear.
Good day.
Even though my business is taking things in pawn, it grieves me to see you with another package. It looks heavy. Here, let me set it down on the counter.
Just unwrap the sheet, Reb Zelig. There. Now, this clock is genuine porcelain, and the works are perfect.
A beautiful clock. Oh, it belongs in your house, not here.
It belongs here. Everything I have belongs here. Isn't it written, the more gold, the more anxiety?
It is also written, poverty is worse than 50 plagues.
Apparently, both wealth and poverty are evils. And I suffer from both. for I'm this town's rich poor man. If I were simply poor, half my burdens would be lifted from me.
At the rate your possessions have been diminishing, you will soon be stripped down to a bare skeleton.
Well, at least then the town will see that my bones are the same shape as any other poor man's.
Hmm. Well, for this clock, I can give you...
Yes?
Wait. Here comes Reb Mendel down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Step behind this partition so he won't see you.
Oh, why should I hide? If he sees me, all the better.
What are you saying? No one wants to be found in a pawn shop. Hide, yourself here. What? He's carrying a package.
Uh-huh.
He may be coming here.
Let him come. I want nothing better than to be found here by a member of the committee for repairing the bathhouse.
Here he is. Too late to hide now. But wait. Wait, he's going by.
Oh.
Hooray, he's passed.
Oh.
And without looking in.
Just my luck.
What? He's coming back in a hurry. He must have been making sure no one was watching.
Ah.
Oh, here he is.
Good.
Reb Yosef, you here?
You see, why not? On business, too. Aren't you surprised to see me?
For a moment, I was taken aback. So you brought your porcelain clock, too. Here is mine. My wife also insists on one of those new ebony types from America. But let me tell you, Reb Zelig, this old clock is actually worth a lot more.
To convince people that one is what one is not seems fairly easy. Paupers pass themselves off as millionaires. Cowards get themselves admired as heroes. There are even cases where women have managed to be taken for men. But to seem what one really is, to be taken for a pauper when one actually is a pauper, that can apparently prove very difficult.
Why must we keep a servant? We can't afford it.
Can we let old Masha go? What would become of her? Do you want her to starve?
Oh, God forbid. But with a servant, who will believe I'm a pauper? What? Dessert again?
It's only a few baked apples. They cost next to nothing. Every peasant eats them.
Yeah, but they will say that I'm a rich man. I have dessert served every day.
Who tells you to call it dessert?
What else am I to call it?
Call it baked apples.
The rest of the year, Yasaber and his family manage to get by somehow. A miracle. But when Passover comes, our leading householder is in a real crisis. All the Passover expenses, wine, matzahs, special foods, a glass here, a pair of shoes there, where is it all to come from? You've guessed it. Reb Zelig, the pawnbroker, has been honored with another visit. And Yosebei is just home with the proceeds of his father's golden goblet, a 10-ruble note.
They're waiting for you, Yosebei, in your study.
Who? Who's waiting?
The committee for the Passover fund for the poor.
I don't want to see them. I have no money for the Passover fund.
Go in and tell them that. Then everyone will know that Reb Yosebei has become a pauper.
I'll tell them. Don't you think I won't? Not 1 cent will they get. In fact, from now on, the Passover fund will have to take care of me.
That you'll never tell them.
You'll see. I'll go right in now. The mask is coming off. Sorry to have kept you gentlemen waiting. If you want to know, I was detained by some business with Reb Zelig, the pawnbroker.
A coincidence. We were just discussing pawning. One Passover, the Premyslava rabbi gave all his money to the poor. Then his wife found something to pawn, bought a chicken, and made soup. But when the rabbi came home from shul, he told her to take the chicken and the soup to a poor woman who had just given birth to a baby.
And the great rabbi and his wife ate matzahs and potatoes for their seder.
Oh.
The Belzer rabbi even pawned his Sabbath candlesticks for charity.
Yeah.
In our times, such Jews no longer exist. Oh, but excuse me, Reb Yosefer, you were saying something about the pawnbroker?
Go ahead.
Oh, saints like those rabbis we no longer have with us. But poor people to take care of. We have more than ever before in the history of the world. What do you think, Reb Yosebei?
It's a fact.
In our opinion, we must have a large fund this year for matzahs, wine, potatoes. What is your advice, Reb Yosebei?
I agree. I must give you something. At least the soup. I mean, at least something. Can you change a note?
If it's a 100-ruble note, we haven't enough yet.
It isn't exactly 100. It's less.
50?
No, I'm afraid that I... Here it is.
10 rubles, the same as last year. You're not serious about change, of course. Were you joking?
of course, as the rabbi says, charity is a cure for every headache. Take it all.
A fine donation, Reb Rosh Habeah.
The Almighty will reward you.
Yosebeer back again. But you were just here an hour ago.
Yes, it seems that my advice was needed for the Passover. You're wondering what the pledge will be this time.
I don't see the usual package wrapped in a white sheet,
There's
but...
There's no need to wrap this pledge. Here it is.
What are you doing? You mean you want to pawn your greatcoat? No, don't. Don't take it off. I won't accept it.
There it is on your counter. Well, I admit it's old, but it's still worth something.
Well, it's worth too much. It's worth more than I can pay.
Oh, what are you saying? An old fur coat that's losing its hair? One would be lucky to get 10 rubles for it. Come, I've worn it long enough.
Well, a man gets old, too, but he's still entitled to keep his dignity. God forbid I should take it. It'd be like receiving in pawn a living being. Here, 10 rubles. Take the money and put the coat back on.
Now, please, Reb Zelig, take the coat and save my life. For years, this coat of a gentleman has been covering a lie. Our whole town has been blinded by it.
For 30 years, I have seen this coat walking proudly on its way to shul each Sabbath and holy day. How will it look for our Reb Yosebeer to be leaping about town like a plucked chicken?
It will look exactly as it should look, like the truth. Now, please, Reb Zelig, remove my yoke of false appearances.
Well, maybe what you say...
Ah.
No, the coat is out of the question. Take the money.
No, but Reb Zelig, just keep the coat. You'll make me a free man. You'll restore my dignity. What's wrong with being poor? No more concealment. No more misunderstandings. People know me exactly as I am. Don't you see?
Mm.
Ah, Reb Zelig, you're taking it off the counter. You know I'm right. Saved. A new life is opening before me. Thank you, Reb Zelig, and goodbye. Happy holiday to you. Now they'll see that their Yosebeer is just a poor Jew like the rest. It's a bit chilly, but what's a little shiver when a man's just risen from the dead? Good day, gentlemen.
Good day, Rebbe.
No more advice will they ask of me, a man of naked poverty. Yeah, na da 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 dee.
Isn't Yosebeer looking wonderful?
A happy man. As it says in the Talmud, great is charity. It uplifts the soul.
Nevertheless, it's a bit early to be without a coat.
Weather is a matter of how one feels. I, wrapped up as I am, feel chilly, while Yosebeer is apparently so full of energy it annoys him to be bundled up. We should all be putting away our coats earlier. It's better for the health.
Reb Yosebeer, I've been looking everywhere for you. We need your advice at once.
Advice, eh? Look, isn't it chilly out, Reb Shammat?
It could be. Anyway, a student has just arrived from out of town. A wonderful young man, a genuine scholar. And this genius likes a place to stay for Passover.
A traveler? Without a seder? God forbid.
So, we thought of asking you. He's an orphan, but of excellent family.
Of course, send him to me. Isn't it written hospitality is greater than a visit to the house of study?
I'll bring him right away. He'll be at your house this afternoon. Oh, Reb Yosebeer, just a minute. A text just sprang into my mind. Who does charity all the time? Asked the ketubot. And it answers, he who adopts an orphan girl and an orphan boy and marries one to the other.
Seder of Yosebert, our town's rich man, somehow turns out to be a genuinely regal affair. There he sits at the head of the table, a king reclining deeply in his pillow, surrounded by his court. To his left are his two princes, Avremel, quite a young man, and Yisrolik, also past bar mitzvah, who is asking the question.
Why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights we eat leaven.
To the right of Yosebert, his queen, Esther Bela, hurries to keep up with the reading of the Haggadah, which, as usual, races ahead with the speed of King Solomon's chariots.
Borei peri hagofen, Baruch Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam.
While beyond Esther Baylor, the two orphans, the girl Gittel and the clever student from out of town, keep their eyes glued on their Haggadahs, as if they never before saw anything so fascinating. She murmurs like a dove, even when they get to the 10 plagues.
Dam, Vardea, Kinim, Deva, Shachin Borom.
At dinner, everything turns out wonderfully. The beet juice is even better than last year. The king of the Seder leans back, shining, happily exhausted from the reading, the cups of wine, the holiday food. And now it's time to return to the Haggadah.
Say grace. Baruch she'ohalnu mishlo uvetur.
Wake up, Yosebert. Wake up. I need your advice.
What? Did someone say advice?
The student wants to marry Gittel.
Hmm.
She just told me while we were washing the dishes.
Oh, congratulations. Mazel tov.
But of course they can't get married.
Well, what's stopping them?
Oh, it's obvious. He's a poor boy and he must go on with his studies.
Oh.
Of course, if she had a father, he'd support the young man for a few years, according to the tradition of giving kes to student bridegrooms. But as it is...
Oh, what's the matter with you, Esther Baylor? Can such a match be allowed to fail for such trivial reasons? Tell them that Yosebert, the bride's foster father, invited him to live here with his bride and devote himself to his studies.
Oh, Yosebert, money or no money, you will always be a rich man.
And now, we present Rabbi Harry W. Katchen of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Rabbi Katchen.
We have just been privileged to look into a tiny corner of a world that is gone and of a simple life virtually destroyed. The Jew lived within the dark confines of the ghettos of Eastern Europe, a life steeped in poverty. Yet he reflected a beauty of the inner spirit, which gave remarkable evidence of how ordinary men and women can rise above the ordinary if their lives be suffused with great ideals. Reb Yosebert is typical of the average Jew who joyfully lived the life enjoined by the law. He felt that God was near to him and believed it his duty to help establish God's kingdom on earth through deeds of righteousness. An ancient rabbi, commenting on a verse in the Song of Songs, pictures God as saying to Israel, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. You are fair through the giving of alms and performing acts of good deeds. You are my friend when you walk in my ways. As the omnipresent is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness, so be ye, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, ransoming the captive, and marrying the orphan." Judaism teaches that to relieve the oppressed and to help the downtrodden is to share in a divine work, an essential preliminary to establishing God's kingdom. Tzedakah or charity and Gemilas Chasodim, the performance of good deeds, outweigh all other commandments, say the rabbis. Tinius Rufus, the Roman, once asked Rabbi Akiba, "Why does your God, being the lover of the needy, not himself provide for their support?" His reply was, "By tzedakah or righteousness, wealth is to be made a means of salvation. God, the father of both the rich and the poor, wants the one to help the other and thus make the world a household of love. The simple life of long ago is gone. Today we live in a complex world and are sorely beset by complex problems. But the simple faith of old, 'Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble,' can help make our disturbed world a household of love and guide us in our search for the heavenly kingdom."
Thank you, Rabbi Katchen. Today's radio play was written for The Eternal Light by Harold Rosenberg and was based on a story by Abraham Risen. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. The role of Reb Yosef Bear was played by Edgar Staley. The entire production was under the direction of Ed King. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.